Guess who's buying margaritas for everyone? Margaritas, nachos, more dessert. They had it all. The food was on the house, thanks to the casino host, who was Jenna's new best friend. Jenna opted to pick up a check the next morning, rather than leave the casino with that much loot in cash, even though a security guard would have escorted them to their car. Anyway, that way, when I come back tomorrow, I'll know I didn't just dream this all, she said when they finally walked back to Brody's car. Are you guys sure you don't want some? You all contributed to the cause.
I don't need any, Brody said.
It's yours, Celeste said to her. That's why we came down, remember? I know, but I feel guilty.
You shouldn't, Vanita said. It's not like you're spending it on yourself.
Well, in a way I am.
Investing in your business, Vanita reminded her. You're not going to buy a car or a boat.
Although a boat would be nice, said Celeste.
And it seems like a lot, Brody said, but the tax man is taking a big chunk.
Oh, yeah. Him. Still, she'd have enough money left to save the Driftwood Inn, and that was all she cared about. Brody dropped them off, Celeste and Vanita singing the Velvet Revolver version of Money, complete with bass riff, Jenna giggling and turning in circles.
We'd better be quiet, Jenna said as they made their way up the front steps. We don't want to wake Aunt Edie.
Aunt Edie was asleep, but she hadn't gone to bed. They spotted her in the living room in Uncle Ralph's recliner, an afghan over her lap, the TV playing some ancient movie.
Should we tell her now? Celeste whispered to Jenna. Maybe we'd better wait until morning, Jenna whispered back. The excitement might be too much for her. She'll never get to sleep.
As it turned out, the excitement was too much for Jenna. No beach fires that night, so she had to content herself with lying in bed, planning the grand reopening of the Driftwood Inn. The first rays of sunlight were drifting into the room when she finally fell asleep, and it was nearly 9 in the morning before the smell of coffee woke her.
I smell breakfast, she mumbled.
Good, Celeste mumbled back from her side of the bed. Go have some for me.
You don't want to be there when I give Aunt Edie the good news?
Okay, give me a minute to pry my eyes open.
They showered and dressed and left Vanita still dead to the world, hurrying downstairs as if it were Christmas morning. In a way, it was. Pete was lounging at the kitchen table, inhaling a cinnamon roll, and Sabrina was at the stove, stirring a batch of Aunt Edie's made-from-scratch hot chocolate. And Roger was supervising from his perch and begging for whiskey.
My, you girls had a late night, Aunt Edie greeted them. Did you have fun?
You're not going to believe what happened, Celeste said.
Aunt Edie, I think you'd better sit down, Jenna said, and led her aunt to the kitchen table. Aunt Edie looked suddenly worried.
Jenna, you didn't lose a lot of money, did you?
Just the opposite. I won.
Aunt Edie was beginning to connect the dots. Sit down. Won.
How much did you win?
She asked, her voice tremulous.
$80,000, Jenna said, and the excitement of the night before came bubbling up again.
Holy crap, Pete said, setting down his coffee mug to gape at her. Who wins that much at the casino?
Me, Jenna said. She'd have to tell Tyrella all her praying had worked.
We're rich, Sabrina exclaimed. Can I have a cell phone?
We'll see, Jenna said. I am 14, and we can afford it now.
Yes, we can, which didn't mean her daughter would be getting one, not until she was driving and really needed one.
I can't believe it, Aunt Edie said, shaking her head. It seems too good to be true.
And then she began to cry. Jenna rushed to kneel in front of her.
Don't cry, Auntie. It's all working out.
I know. Oh, Jenna, there are so many things you could do with that money.
I want to help you, Jenna said. I want to bring the Driftwood Inn back to life.
You dear girl, Aunt Edie said, and hugged her.
Now we can go home and visit Daddy, Sabrina said, joining them at the kitchen table with her mug of hot chocolate.
Oh boy, this again. How long was she going to have to cover for Damien?
As soon as we get the motel up and running, Jenna promised.
Surely, after a few more weeks, Damien would be missing his daughter enough to grant a visit. Sabrina frowned.
I only want to go home for a weekend.
We'll talk about it later, Jenna said.
I could go back with Aunt Celeste, Sabrina said, looking brightly at Celeste, who wisely kept her mouth shut.
We'll see, said Jenna. Sabrina scowled.
I know what that means. It means no.
It means we'll see, Jenna said, her patience leaking.
Fine, Sabrina snapped.
She set her mug on the table with a thump and stamped out of the room.
Pretty is as pretty does, Jenna called after her, quoting one of her mother's favorite sayings. You're so mean,
her daughter's voice echoed back at her. You can take a weekend off and go home, Aunt Edie said to Jenna. This is my home now, Jenna told her, and we'll go back to visit her lame-o father when we have things squared away here, and not before. So there. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Chapter 17 To Do. Buy thank you gifts for Celeste, Vanita, and Brody. Call Top Dog Roofing. Pinch myself. Jenna could still hardly believe her good luck of the night before. Was it really true, or had she dreamed it? No, it was true. When she went back to the casino, there was the check, waiting for her. She went straight to the bank on Monday, waved it under Sherwood Stern's nose, and deposited it in Aunt Edie's business account, to which they'd added Jenna's name. Old Sherwood was suddenly so helpful.
Anything you need, just let us know.
What she'd needed, he hadn't been willing to give. I think we're fine now, she said.
Well, we're here for you, he told her.
Right. She met Tyrella going into the bank as she was coming out and shared her good news. Tyrella wasn't quite so jubilant. You don't sound very excited for us, Jenna said in surprise.
Of course I'm happy for you. I'm just not a big fan of gambling is all. I remember when that fancy resort was nothing more than a Quonset hut on the beach. Now look at it. How do you think they got their money? You were lucky you didn't lose a fortune.
But that's just it, Jenna said happily. I didn't. You did say you were going to pray, and you said you had no idea how the money was going to come.
You've got me there, sister. I'm glad for you. But take my advice and stay out of the casino from now on.
I will, Jenna said, and crossed her fingers behind her back. Then she skipped off to call Top Dog Roofing and do some shopping. Her fellow gamblers had all been insistent they didn't want a share of her winnings, but that didn't mean she couldn't buy them all thank you gifts. At the beachcomber, she picked up goodies for her sister and friend. Candles embedded with tiny starfish and shells, necklaces with a silver shell dangling from them, and matching earrings. Her next stop was Cindy's Candies, where Cindy Redman was happy to guide her in her choice.
Brody is crazy for saltwater taffy, she said, handing Jenna a little wooden basket to fill with taffy from the huge bin in the center of the shop.
Jenna walked around it, reading the flavors in the various sections. Peppermint, buttered popcorn, coconut, lime, orange, huckleberry, chocolate.
This is overwhelming.
He likes them all, but I know for a fact he's partial to coconut, said Cindy. Fill a basket for yourself, too, so you can celebrate your big win. On the house.
Jenna filled a basket for Brody, then took a small amount for herself, not wanting to take advantage of Cindy's kindness. She vowed to pass the goodies on to her daughter so she wouldn't give in to temptation and eat them. In addition to taffy, she also purchased chocolates in the shape of clamshells for Celeste and Vanita. At In the Suds, she bought them fancy soap and scented oil and picked up a couple of t-shirts from Something Fishy, sporting a crab. The slogan over it said, Never crabby at the beach. That was for sure. Not anymore. She decided to round out her goodie collection with gift cards from Beans and Books for the next time Celeste and company came down. Rita Rutledge gave her a warm welcome when she walked in. Rita was only a couple of years older than Jenna, a casual dresser, happy to wear jeans and a Beans and Books t-shirt with her logo of an open book and a cup of coffee. She was divorced with a son in college and waiting for her dream man to walk through her doors. Someone who was a reader and a coffee addict, she'd informed Jenna at the chamber meeting.
"Did you come in for your free latte?" she asked.
"That, too," Jenna said. "Actually, I also want to get a couple of gift cards. Thank yous for my sister and girlfriend. And Brody." Brody liked coffee. She'd get him some champagne, too.
"Brody, huh? Well, well, you move fast."
"It's not what you think," Jenna said. "They all bankrolled me at the casino last night, and I won big."
"You did?"
Jenna nodded. "Enough to get a new roof for the driftwood."
"Wow, that is truly amazing."
Rita turned to the Gen X man in the jeans and casual shirt and flip-flops.
"Did you hear that, Aaron? This sounds like a story for the Beach Times."
He looked up from his phone where he'd been busily texting.
"What?"
"Jenna, this is Aaron Baumgarten. He's the star reporter at our local paper."
"The overworked reporter," he amended. "There's just me to do local and sports, and Piper Lee, who handles the home and garden stuff."
"And who writes the advice column. She writes as Dear Miss Know-It-All, and her identity's supposed to be top secret," Rita said. "But we all know it's Piper."
"How much did you win?" Aaron asked.
Jenna told him, and he let out a whistle.
"That's a nice chunk of change. What are you going to do with it?"
"I'm going to finish renovating the Driftwood Inn." "She's Edie's niece," Rita added. "She's come down to help run the place. This would be a nice human interest story."
"You're right. Plus, it would be the biggest news since Clem Jackson got stranded on Pebble Point at high tide. How about we do a story on you? We could get a picture of you standing in front of the Driftwood along with your aunt."
"That would be great," Jenna said. "A good way to get the news out that the old Driftwood would soon be back in business. And Aunt Edie would probably love having her picture in the paper."
"How would this afternoon work for you?" Aaron asked.
"Fine." She could hardly wait to get home and tell Aunt Edie that they were about to be famous. Before she went home to share the news, she stopped by the drugstore for gift bags and tissue paper and assembled her thank you gifts. On her way back, she bought champagne and delivered it and his other gifts to Brody at his office.
"You didn't have to do that," he said,
but she could tell by his smile and the way his eyes lit up when he saw the expensive bottle and the taffy that he was pleased nonetheless.
"And you didn't have to give me money or pass up the chance to take your share of the winnings," she said. "I owe you a lot more than champagne."
"Yeah?"
He gave her a lecherous grin.
"Like what?"
"Like lifelong gratitude."
"That'll do for a start. How about dinner out?"
"If you let me pay."
"If you think I'm going to turn down dinner with a beautiful woman just because she's offering to pay, you can think again," he joked.
He held up the champagne.
"Maybe I'll save this to drink on the beach after."
Which would mean there were more tipsy kisses in her future. Brody Green and a moonlight beach. Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
"You don't want to have to share that. Go ahead and drink it all," she said lightly, then laughed at his phony, disappointed expression. Back at the house, Celeste and Vanita were thrilled with their gifts, and Aunt Edie was delighted to get in the paper.
"I'd better go put my face on."
"You look great," Jenna told her.
"Oh, no, I need more lipstick," she said, "and I can't be caught in this old sweatshirt."
"She's so cute," Vanita said as Aunt Edie went up the stairs to get gorgeous.
"She's a treasure," said Celeste. "She and Uncle Ralph were one of the best parts of our childhood."
She popped one of Cindy's chocolates in her mouth.
"Oh, I'm in heaven."
"You didn't need to do this," Vanita said to Jenna, as she too raided her little box of chocolate shells.
"Oh yeah, she did," Celeste said, pulling out another chocolate.
"Where's Sabrina?" Jenna asked. "I've got goodies for her too."
"She's on the beach with Caroline. I heard something about taking selfies in their bathing suits."
"Oh boy," Jenna said, thinking of inappropriate Facebook posts.
"Don't worry," Celeste said. "We already warned her to keep her bathing suit on. By the way, she's been working on me to take her with us when we go back tomorrow." Pass me that chocolate, Jenna said, and sunk onto the seashell chair.
Gimme whiskey, said Roger from his cage.
That too, Jenna said. I swear she never gives up.
Determination is a good thing, Vanita said.
Jenna sighed. Not when it comes to seeing her dad. He's not interested.
Celeste's brows drew together.
Seriously?
Don't look so surprised, said Jenna. You know what he is.
Self-absorbed and immature.
But that's a new low. He claims he can't take her right now. He needs time to... whatever.
I take it Sabrina doesn't know?
Jenna shook her head. I keep putting her off. At some point, he is going to want to see her. He's a jerk, but he's not totally heartless. Anyway, what did you tell her?
I told her no, said Celeste. It really wouldn't work out this time. Somebody would need to bring her back, and Mom's working. Once we get home, I'm taking off for 2 weeks in Icicle Falls.
And it's not with me, put in Vanita. I'll give you 3 guesses who she's going with.
The cop, Jenna guessed.
That would be the one.
I think this is it, Celeste added.
He's so strong. He's going to teach me how to shoot a gun, she added.
Jenna remembered her encounter with the pepper spray.
You're liable to shoot yourself in the foot.
Celeste made a face.
Very funny.
I wasn't joking. Jenna regarded her sister. Celeste was cute and fun and bubbly, and she tended to rush into things.
Isn't this moving along kind of fast? I mean, you haven't been going out all that long.
Long enough, Celeste said.
Jenna couldn't help thinking about how quickly she'd rushed into marrying Damien.
You sound like Mom, her sister added, which told Jenna that their mother had reservations too.
I just don't want to see you get hurt.
Learn from me, little sister.
Don't worry, I'm not planning on racing down the aisle.
That didn't mean she couldn't get her heart broken.
I really think I love him, Celeste said softly.
As long as he loves you back, Jenna told her.
What's not to love about her? Vanita put in.
True, Celeste was all heart. Jenna hoped this latest romance bloomed into something serious. It would be nice if at least one of them could find true love.
Aunt Edie came back down the stairs, resplendent in a black dress, spattered with big red roses that she'd accented with a red scarf and red flip-flops, adorned with a miniature red bouquet of silk-red carnations that covered most of her slightly crooked toes.
How do I look? She asked.
Hot, Celeste said. You look smokin', Aunt Edie.
She did look cute, like the kind of little old lady you'd want to hang out with. Which, of course, was exactly what she was. Aaron showed up shortly after, along with the paper's photographer. He had plenty of questions for Jenna. How long had she been in Moonlight Harbor? What had brought her down?
I needed a life.
I had a chance to come and help my aunt bring this wonderful old motel back to its former glory.
What makes the Driftwood Inn so special? Aaron asked.
My aunt.
We were one of the first ones here, Aunt Edie said, answering for her. There's a lot of history here. A lot of people have made happy memories at the Driftwood Inn.
And we want to make more, put in Jenna.
What are you going to do with your winnings?
We're going to finish renovating, starting with a new roof, Jenna said.
And we're going to finally get to stop worrying.
You're pretty lucky, Aaron said, winning all that money.
Jenna looked at her sweet aunt, her sister and good friend, thought of her wonderful mom and grandparents, of the great life she'd had growing up. All those blessings far outweighed the bump in the road that was Damien.
Yes, I am, she said.
Okay, Aaron said at last. How about a picture of you and your aunt in front of the motel?
I'm ready, Aunt Edie told him.
Next to her aunt, Jenna looked boring in her denim skirt and black top, but that was okay. She had no problem with her aunt outshining her. This was Aunt Edie's moment. They were saying goodbye to Aaron and the photographer when Seth arrived.
You look nice, Mrs. Patterson, he complimented Aunt Edie as he got out of his truck.
Thank you, she said.
We just had our picture taken for the paper. They're going to do an article about Jenna. She won $80,000 at the casino last night.
Seth's eyes popped wide.
No shit. Oh, sorry, Mrs. Patterson.
Don't be, she said. And yes, no shit.
Looks like you can get a new roof now, he said to Jenna.
And maybe even a few other things we need, she added. Oh, yes, she was one lucky duck.
I guess I'd better get busy and power wash the place then, so we can start painting, he said. Paint and a new roof, and you're good to go.
And new mattresses for the beds, and new linens, and probably some new flooring in the worst of the bathrooms, Jenna said. Everything had seemed so overwhelmingly impossible only 2 days ago. Now the sky was the limit. Well, sort of. They still had a bank loan to pay off, and a petri dish swimming pool to fix. But this unexpected infusion of cash would get them started in the right direction.
It'll get there, Seth assured her.
Meanwhile, we need to celebrate, Aunt Edie said. Let's have a beach fire before Celeste and Vanita have to leave tomorrow. Seth, you can join us, can't you?
Thanks for the offer, but I can't. You have fun, though.
Well, next time, then, Aunt Edie said. I'm going to go inside and bake some cupcakes, she said to Jenna, and hurried across the parking lot to the house.
Your aunt's stoked, he observed.
The place means so much to her, Jenna said. Now it's going to finally get fixed up again. Uncle Ralph would have been happy, too.
Pretty unusual, winning all that money.
Which means it was meant to be.
I guess you're right, he said.
You're going to be missing a major party tonight, Jenna told him. Whoever she is, she must be something special to keep you away. Was she fishing for deets?
No. Yes.
He made a face.
Yeah, right.
So you didn't have plans for tonight?
I have plans to not crash your family party.
You think it will be only family? I can guarantee you Aunt Edie's going to invite half of Moonlight Harbor. He shook his head.
Family and old friends. That's how it should be.
New friends don't count? He turned and started for his room.
See you later, Jenna.
Celeste and Vanita will be disappointed with no eye candy there.
Invite the house peddler, he called over his shoulder.
Maybe I will, she called back. In fact, maybe she should. She pulled out her cell phone and made the call.
Sounds fun, Brody said. I'll be there to feed you s'mores.
Not only was Brody there, so was Pete, Tyrella, and Nora, along with her husband and Caroline. Naturally, everyone brought something to contribute to the feast. Brody brought wine coolers, Nora brought the makings for s'mores, Tyrella brought chips and pop, and Pete
brought himself.
The men built a bonfire that was a pyromaniac's dream, and as everyone roasted hot dogs, Aunt Edie reminisced about the past. You know, Ralph didn't know a thing about building when we first came down here, but he figured he could learn. We both did. I helped put on the roof, and I got pretty good with a hammer. We had so much fun painting the place and ordering all the linens, and let me tell you, we were so excited when our first guests pulled in. It was a mother and father and two little boys. And you know, they came back every year until the father got a job in Nebraska. I even got a Christmas card from them that first year. Then there was the professional wrestler. He showed your Uncle Ralph a few moves. It was all fun and games until Ralph broke his nose.
Good old Ralph, said Bill. He was a character.
Yes, he was, Edie said, and her smile turned wistful. Who else stayed here? Jenna asked, wanting to turn her aunt's thoughts in a happier direction. Let me think. Oh, yes, there was the bride who locked herself in the bathroom on her wedding night. The poor thing. Why did she do that? Sabrina asked. You'll have to ask your mother later, Aunt Edie said. Oh, she was afraid to have sex, Caroline said knowingly. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to have sex on my 16th birthday.
We'll see about that, Nora told her,
and Jenna determined to find a friend for her daughter who would be a better influence, even if she had to put an ad in the paper.
"You know, Pat Boone came to town several times to play golf," Aunt Edie continued.
"Did he stay here?" Jenna asked.
"He did, one night. I got his autograph."
"Who's Pat Boone?" Caroline asked.
"He was a crooner," Aunt Edie said. "Such a handsome man."
She sighed happily.
"Who knows who we'll have to come stay with us once we're ready for business again? I can hardly wait to find out."
"Well," Brody said, raising his bottle, "here's to the future. Hope you get lots of movie stars and singers."
"I just want lots of paying customers," Jenna said. She didn't care how their guests earned their money, just so long as they shared it with the Driftwood Inn. The party finally broke up at 10:30.
"I have to open the store at 8, Tyrella said, standing and stretching. "That means bed for me."
"We should go too," Nora said to Bill, and he nodded.
"Do we have to, Grammy? Can I spend the night?" Caroline begged. "Sabrina can loan me her toothbrush."
Jenna wasn't all that excited for Caroline to stay, but Aunt Edie said, "We've got extra toothbrushes."
"All right," Nora said, "if it's not an imposition."
"Not at all," Aunt Edie said cheerfully, ever the good hostess.
Jenna vowed to have a talk with her later and explain about the birds and the bees and 14-year-olds.
"Come on, girls, I'll help you get settled. My old bones have had enough of sitting on logs for the night," Aunt Edie said, "and it's getting past my bedtime anyway."
Pete, too, decided he'd had enough and gallantly offered Aunt Edie the use of his arm for balance. Brody made no mention of leaving, so Celeste and Vanita, Cupid's little helpers, decided they, too, needed to go in, following the others off through the dune grasses. Then it was just Jenna and Brody.
"Is it past your bedtime, too?" he asked.
"Almost."
He scooted closer to her on the blanket.
"Stay out a little longer."
He pointed to the sky.
"We've got a full moon. I can stir up the fire."
He already was, which meant it was time to go in.
"Oh, I don't think..."
"Come on, Jenna. Hang out a while. Give me a chance to seduce you."
His voice was teasing, but she knew he was serious.
"You're a heartbreaker, Brody Green."
"Who keeps telling you this stuff?"
"As if someone had to tell me."
"You've got to have figured out that I've got feelings for you."
"And you know I'm not going to rush into anything."
No matter how tempting, if she kept saying that to herself long enough, hopefully she could stick to it.
"Who's rushing?" he said and nuzzled her neck. "Am I interrupting something?"
The deep voice behind them made Jenna jump away from Brody with a squeak. He frowned at Seth Waters, who stepped over a log and settled on it.
"As a matter of fact, you are." "Sorry, saw the fire and figured the party was still going. Jenna invited me." "The party's over," Brody told him.
"Yes, it is," Jenna said, standing up. "Will you two douse what's left of the fire?"
"There's not much left," Brody said, sounding grumpy, and Jenna had to chuckle. "So, how about that dinner you promised?" he asked.
Nothing like making a statement to the other guy, and putting her on the spot.
"How about tomorrow night?" she offered.
"Sounds good," he said.
She nodded and then scooted off to the house, anxious to get away from an embarrassing situation.
"I thought you'd be out a lot longer," Celeste said when she came into the bedroom.
Celeste and Vanita were sitting on her bed, playing a game of pig with a pair of Aunt Edie's dice.
Seth came out. "Two good-looking men wanted to hang out and you just left?"
Vanita rolled her eyes.
"Honestly, all that pretty is wasted on you."
"It was awkward." Jenna plopped on the bed next to her sister. "Can I play? Have you got some quarters?"
"You're playing for money?"
"That's how you play the game, remember? Anyway, you just won $80,000. Can't you spare a few quarters?" Celeste teased. Jenna went to her purse and dug out 3 quarters.
This is all I have.
The way your luck's been running, it's all you'll need, Celeste said.
She was wrong. Jenna lost her quarters in the first 5 minutes. Looks like my luck has turned. She wouldn't be going back to the casino anytime soon.
It's turned in a good way when it comes to men, said Celeste. You've got sexy man overload.
They both seem really nice, said Vanita.
They are. So which one are you going to pick? Celeste asked.
Neither. I think one heartbreak in a lifetime is enough.
You can't give up on love, sissy, Celeste said to her. One of those men could be the perfect man for you, your chance to be happy again, and I want that for you.
We both do, Vanita added.
I know. Don't worry, I'm going to be happy.
And the best way to do that was to protect her heart.
At least go out with them a bit. Have some fun, Celeste said. You can do that, and who knows where it will lead.
Surely not where things had eventually led with Damien.
Except Brody was a player. She'd figured that out early on.
And Seth? There's more than one kind of prison. Seth's words came back to remind her that he wasn't in the market for a serious relationship. He was probably damaged for life, and any woman who fell for him would wind up damaged too.
Don't worry, Hart. I'll watch out for you.
She hoped she could keep that promise.
Chapter 18. To do. Pick up extra copies of the paper. Pay bills. Pinch myself again. Celeste and Vanita left Tuesday morning, Vanita needing to get back to work the following day, and Celeste anxious to get ready for her trip with her new man. Sabrina watched them go with a frown.
I could have gone back with Aunt Celeste, and Grandma or Daddy would have brought me back, she said to Jenna, her tone accusing.
Of course, it was Jenna's fault that this latest plan had fallen through.
We'll get back, don't worry.
We won't, Sabrina predicted. We're going to be stuck here forever.
Yes, they'll find our sun-bleached bones on Moonlight Beach. Her daughter saw no humor in that remark and flounced back into the house, probably to eat more of Aunt Edie's coffee cake.
Jenna sighed. She didn't blame Sabrina for getting impatient. This was getting ridiculous. What was she waiting for, darn it all?
She'd get the roofer started, and then she and Sabrina would go back to Linwood for a visit. And if Damien wanted his next check, he could come pick it up. From his daughter. She pulled out her phone, looked up the number for Top Dog Roofing, and gave Herbie a call.
How soon can you start?
A couple of weeks, said Mr. Top Dog.
That long?
Somehow she'd envisioned him and his crew coming right over with their nails and shingles.
We're busy in the summer. Everybody wants to get their roofs fixed before winter sets in. Don't worry, though. We'll make sure you get the driftwood watertight before the next big storm, he promised.
Okay, roof repair scheduled. She gave herself permission to take a break. She'd surprise Sabrina and take her back home for the 4th of July. They could leave early in the morning and stay clear through the weekend. After that afternoon, she didn't have any massages lined up for the rest of the week anyway. She smiled at the thought. Come morning, she'd be good mommy, the best mom in the world. Until the next time her daughter was mad at her. She did some bookwork, made some calls. Once she finally came in for lunch, it was to find her daughter long gone.
She said she was going over to Caroline's, Aunt Edie reported.
At least she's telling people where she's going now, Jenna said. I hope she can find some other friends to hang out with soon, though.
Yes, I agree, said Aunt Edie.
That one's a little...
Yes, said Jenna. Nora's girls were so sweet. This next generation, they're all rude and spoiled.
Not Sabrina, though, she quickly added.
No, she only wants to be spoiled, Jenna said.
Oh, well, at least she's got something to do today. I think if you don't mind, tomorrow I'm going to run her back to Linwood so she can see her dad and her best friend. And the new boy in the old neighborhood, which is probably another reason she wants to go back.
Boys, they are a powerful magnet,
Aunt Edie said.
Yes, they are, Jenna said, remembering Johnny Milton, the boy of her dreams when she was 12. Johnny had been Sabrina's age, tall and scrawny with sea-blue eyes and blonde hair like Brody's. Maybe that was part of Brody's attraction. He was like a grown-up, filled-out Johnny Milton. Anyway, I think a visit will do us both good. Jenna was ready for some mommy time of her own.
It will. You've been working awfully hard.
Yes. The more Jenna thought about it, the better she liked the idea of taking a break. Meanwhile, though, she had massages scheduled and a dinner date. Patricia Whiteside was her first client, and she came bearing a copy of the paper with the article featuring Jenna, Aunt Edie, and the Driftwood.
I thought Edie would want an extra copy, she explained. I'm so happy for you, she continued after Jenna had thanked her, conveniently neglecting to share that she'd already picked up half a dozen copies herself. It's been a struggle for Edie these past few years, and I'm glad to see the cavalry has arrived.
Jenna smiled as she laid a warm towel on Patricia's back.
Oh, that feels good. I'm liking this already. You know, I've never in my life had a massage.
Then I'd say it's past time, Jenna told her. Your body will thank you for it.
Patricia's body did thank her, and she in turn thanked Jenna by giving her a generous tip on top of her fee.
You don't need to do that, Jenna protested.
I know. Now that you've won all that money, you're feeling very rich. But trust me, it goes quickly when you're in the hospitality business. You can always use extra cash.
Jenna would use this little chunk of change to gas up her car for her trip home. Her next client was Laurel, the hostess from the porthole, who had called out of the blue that morning.
Standing on my feet all day kills my back, she'd explained. Although now that you've won all that money, maybe you won't be in business anymore.
It seemed that everyone in town read the Beach Times.
All that money has to be invested in the motel, Jenna explained. I'll still be doing massage.
She had bills to pay. Besides, she liked doing massage, loved helping people feel better. As Laurel lay on the table, Jenna working on her legs and back, the real reason she'd come leaked out.
It was nice of Brody to bring you into the restaurant the other day. How do you know him?
Of course, checking out the competition.
We met by accident.
He's the president of the Chamber of Commerce, Laurel explained. He likes to get new people involved.
And he liked to get involved with new people.
Brody and I have gone out off and on for the last year, Laurel continued.
It looked like they were currently off.
We took a little break.
Uh-huh. Little being the operative word.
Sometimes that's a good idea, Jenna said, and hoped Laurel wasn't working a night shift at the porthole that night. Maybe they'd go to Sandy's.
I think we're going to be getting back together, though.
Definitely they'd go to Sandy's. Judging from Brody's behavior, only one of them was thinking of getting back together, and it wasn't him.
So tell me, how long have you lived here? Jenna asked, hoping to move the conversation in a new direction.
3 years. I'd been in a long-term relationship, and I was pretty broken up when it ended. Brody saved my sanity.
Back to Brody again.
I hear you're divorced, Laurel added casually.
Underlying question. And in need of having your sanity saved? Jenna could feel the woman's muscles tightening under her hands.
Pretty recently. I'm in no hurry to jump into anything.
Laurel relaxed.
That's smart.
But when Frank, Officer Mushroom, came in for a late afternoon massage and asked her to go out with him afterward for some fish and chips, she gave him a different story.
I'm sorry, Frank. I'm seeing someone.
Oh.
He took a moment to digest that.
Who?
Brody Green.
Frank gave a disgusted grunt. That guy's got bucks to throw around. No point trying to compete with him.
Honestly, I'm not interested in dating anyone seriously, she said, lest word suddenly get back to Laurel.
Yeah, I get it. Love's a crapshoot. Hey, speaking of craps, I heard you won big at the casino.
By now, everyone in town seemed to know, whether they'd read the paper or not. I did.
Pretty cool, he said. You ought to do something fun with the money. I mean, I know the article said you want to fix up your aunt's place, but you ought to save out some. Take a trip. Buy a car. Something.
By the time we put a roof on the place, that will eat up most of the money, Jenna said.
$80K for a roof? Man, that's grim.
Not quite, but close. Plus, I do have to pay taxes on all that money.
Yeah, good old Uncle Sam. Oh well, I'm glad you won. The money will be going to a good cause. Your aunt's lucky to have you here.
And I'm lucky to be in such a great town, she said. Everyone here is so nice. How nice would Laurel be once she learned Jenna and Brody had gone out to dinner? She'd probably hear of it somehow, no matter where they went. That was how small towns worked. Once Jenna got Frank out the door, she got herself ready to go. Is Sabrina still over at Nora's with Caroline? She asked her aunt.
She must be, Aunt Edie said. I haven't seen hide nor hair of her. If she calls and asks to stay to dinner, what should I say?
Say yes. I'll pick her up on my way back. And give her the good news about going to Mom's. Seth was power washing the motel when she walked out to her car. She waved at him, and he turned off his machine and sauntered over.
You look good, he said, taking in her little black dress and sandals.
He looked pretty darned good himself, standing there in jeans and flip-flops. Considerate of him to lose his shirt. So many men shaved their chest, but not Seth, and that tasteful amount of dark chest hair was like frosting on a cake.
Thanks, she said, and restrained herself from saying anything lustful and tacky.
Going out to dinner?
As if he didn't know. It's a thank you dinner.
Looked like you were already thanking him pretty good last night.
Are you jealous? She teased.
I don't do jealous.
There's nothing to be jealous of anyway, she said with a shrug. This is just dinner. He gave me some gambling money, and this is payback.
Generous of him. So out gambling together, huh?
My sister and Vanita and I were going. He invited himself along. He wouldn't take any of my winnings, so this was the least I could do. I owe him.
You don't owe that guy anything, Seth informed her, and he's not after a free dinner.
She knew what Brody was after, but she played dumb. Oh, and what would that be?
You know, Seth said with a frown. Just because he gave you a few bucks, it doesn't mean you have to sleep with him.
Could he have put it any more bluntly? That would make me what? Oh yeah, a hooker. She frowned at him. His cheeks flushed.
That's not what I meant.
Well, I'd love to stand around and try to figure out what you meant, but I need to go, she said, giving his arm a condescending pat. Thanks for the insight.
Hey, I didn't mean to insult you, he said as she walked away.
The only reply she gave him was a wave of her hand. But he did get her thinking. It was hard to be friends with men, especially good-looking ones like Brody. He obviously wanted more. What if she gave him more? Then what? Brody was divorced, probably not in the market to get married again. Neither was she, but if they got involved, well, she'd get involved. She'd invest her heart, and then when the love market crashed, there she'd be, jumping off the Moonlight Harbor pier. Keep your boundaries, she told herself as she drove to the address he'd given her. Brody's house was a two-story dream right on the beach, painted a dark gray with white trim. It had a crenellated roof and a wraparound porch. Nice house, she said as he climbed into her trusty old car. It was hardly the same as his slick ride, but she'd insisted on picking him up as well as paying for dinner.
It'll do, he said.
Fake modesty, she teased.
Yeah, it's a great house. We always hold the beach dream summer party in it. Good view from the balcony. I'll have to show you later.
I've seen the ocean.
Not from my house, he said with a smile. You know, you didn't have to do this.
Just like you didn't have to turn down my offer to share my winnings. Are you okay with Sandy's? I know it's not as expensive as the porthole, but I figured it was safer.
safer?
If Laurel's working tonight, she might grab a steak knife and stab one of us. Preferably you.
Ah, so you think there's something between Laurel and me?
Laurel thinks there's something between Laurel and you. She came in for a massage today. I guess you two used to be an item?
For a while.
She's under the impression that you're getting back together again.
We're not.
I wonder where she got that idea, Jenna mused.
We went out a couple of times before you came to town.
He turned in his seat.
Look, Jenna, I've lived here a few years. I've dated people, but there's no one I'm serious with, and there's only one woman I'm seriously interested in.
Laurel will be glad to hear that.
And it's not her.
Don't make it me either, Brody, okay? I've had enough hurt to last a lifetime.
I have no intention of hurting you, he said softly.
Sometimes people get hurt whether you intend it or not.
I'm not like your ex. I never cheated on my wife.
What did happen?
She got tired of me working so much, so I worked less, and then I made less, and then she got tired of that. Then she got tired of me, found herself a man who'd already made his fortune.
She dumped you for another man? He shrugged.
She dumped me first, then found another man. It's a small distinction, but an important one. I came here to the beach, slowed down a little, and lived a little more. Dated some nice women and proved to myself that the problem in the marriage hadn't been me.
Now that you've decided that, what's next?
Whatever happens, he said. I'm open to the possibilities. I hope at some point you will be too.
I'll tell you what I'm open to, she said. I'm open to proving to my ex that I matter, that I'm not something you use and then throw away. I'm open to making life better than it was 6 months ago. Brody smiled.
I'd say you've made a good start on that.
She smiled, too, thinking of her plump bank account. I'd say so, too. Dinner was pleasant, steamed clams and salad for her and prime rib for him. He had wine. She stuck with water. I'm driving, she said.
That's just your excuse. You don't want to get tipsy and find yourself in my arms under a full moon, he said with a wink.
She could think of worse places to be, for sure.
Don't you want to come in for dessert?
He offered once they got back to his place. You bake?
No, but I've got ice cream and a nice, comfy couch.
To stretch out on.
What do you say?
He slipped a hand up and gave her neck a friendly little rub. I say you should take up massage therapy. You're pretty good.
I'm good with my hands.
Oh, yes, he was. And he was just getting warmed up. Not interested, remember?
But he was sure making it hard for her to remember. Yet. You forgot to add. Yet. Did I mention I'm irresistible?
You didn't need to. But I really do need to get going. I'm taking Sabrina to see my mom tomorrow, and I've got a few things to do.
Gotcha. Well then, thanks for the meal.
Thanks for making me rich, even if it's only temporary.
Glad to help.
His hand still on her neck, he nudged her toward him.
A lot of guys don't kiss on the first date, but I'm not one of them.
What the heck? What was a kiss or two between friends? She let him kiss her. And kiss her again. And play with her hair. Boundaries, Jenna. Boundaries. That was the only body part he was going to get to play with. Even though what they were doing was way better than ice cream, she pulled away, forced herself not to lick her lips. You're easy, she teased.
I can be easier.
I bet you can. Good night. He chuckled and tapped her on the nose.
I can also be patient. Good night.
Once he was out of the car, she allowed herself to touch her fingers to her lips in an effort to recreate those kisses. Brody Green knew how to kiss a woman. He probably knew how to do all kinds of things. Sigh. She was still buzzing when she pulled up in front of Nora's house. Her husband Bill answered the door. She could hear the TV in the background. "I just stopped by to pick up Sabrina," she said. He looked puzzled.
"She's not here."
"Oh, did Nora take her home already?"
"I guess. Caroline was the only one here when I got home at 5.
"But I left at 5 and Sabrina was here. Aunt Edie said she came over this afternoon."
"Let's ask Nora. Nora?"
A moment later, Nora came out of the living room, looking relaxed in shorts and a top, a glass of lemonade in her hand. "Oh, hi, Jenna. This is a nice surprise."
"I actually was looking for Sabrina."
"She went home hours ago," Nora said. "The girls were in for ice cream, and then Sabrina was going to go back." Her words fell away right along with every ounce of blood from Jenna's face.
"She didn't come home," Bill gasped.
Jenna shook her head. She suddenly couldn't breathe.
"She's probably home right now," Nora said. "Let's call and check with Edie."
"You'd better come in and sit down," said Bill.
Jenna felt suddenly lightheaded. She staggered into the living room and fell onto the couch and watched as Nora called her aunt.
"Hi, Edie. Is Sabrina there?"
Jenna knew by the expression on her friend's face what the answer was. Terror gripped her. "Oh, no."
"Don't worry," Bill told her and went to the kitchen.
"No, we're just trying to figure out where she is. Don't worry," Nora said into her phone. "Jenna, she's here with me. Don't you worry. We'll get this sorted out."
Jenna bit her lip hard, trying not to cry. Bill returned with a glass of water and handed it to her. She thanked him and set it aside.
"Don't panic yet," Nora said. "Let's see what Caroline knows."
Caroline was summoned to the living room, and from the smirk on her face, it was evident she knew something.
"I haven't seen her since this afternoon. She wasn't happy," Caroline informed Jenna.
"What did she say?" Nora asked sharply.
Caroline shrugged. "Just that her mom's mean."
"Was she running away?" Jenna asked. She could hardly get the words out without choking.
Here came another shrug.
"I would."
"If you know something, you need to tell us," said her grandfather.
"Why would I know something?" the girl hedged.
"Caroline Ann, you tell us right now what you know, or I'm calling your mother to come get you."
"Fine with me. It's boring here."
"Yeah, ice cream, free play on the arcade games and the bumper cars," Bill said in disgust.
"Mom's taking me to Disneyland," Caroline retorted.
"She needs to take you to juvie," Bill growled. "Get on up to your room."
Caroline treated them to one final shrug and left.
"Where could she be?" Jenna cried, tears running down her cheeks.
"Don't worry, we'll find her," Nora said.
She grabbed her phone and made another call. 10 minutes later, a policeman was at the door. This was a new one Jenna hadn't met, and he introduced himself as Officer Fleming. A fatherly-looking man with salt-and-pepper hair. He was kind and reassuring, but Jenna wasn't fooled. She knew what happened when young girls disappeared.
"When did you last see her?" he asked.
"This morning," Jenna said, and burst into sobs. Now maybe she'd never see her daughter again. If only she'd let her stay behind with Mom. If only she could turn back time. If only...
"Okay, any other place she could possibly be?"
"At 7:30 at night? She should have been home, playing cards with Aunt Edie or scribbling in her journal." Her journal. Maybe that held a clue.
Jenna gave the officer the picture she had of Sabrina in her wallet, and an Amber Alert was put out. Then she broke the sound barrier getting back to the house.
"Did you find her?" Aunt Edie called as Jenna raced up the stairs.
"Not yet," Jenna called back.
"Please, God, let us find her. Let her be okay."
Sabrina had left behind her journal. There it sat on her dresser. Jenna had never been one to snoop through her daughter's things. Maybe she should have. She turned to the last page and read,
"My mom is the most selfish person in the universe. She could have let me go back with Aunt Celeste and then come and gotten me later whenever she wanted. Grandma wouldn't care how long I stayed. I know Aunt Celeste would have taken me.
She was just afraid to say yes because of Mom. It's not fair. I want to go see Marigold. I want to see Daddy. Caroline says I shouldn't sit around and feel sorry for myself. I should do something. I'm going to.
Oh, Lord. Jenna bolted off the bed and ran back down the stairs.
Where are you going? Aunt Edie called.
To find Sabrina. Don't worry.
As if telling someone not to worry ever worked, especially when a child's safety was at stake. A few moments later, she was back at Nora's house. Nora answered the door.
Did you find her?
No, but I have a strong suspicion of where she's gone. I need to talk to Caroline again. Caroline was called back down. The smirk was gone now, and she was looking sullen. Jenna guessed the threatened phone call had been made, and the child was getting shipped off. Good. Even if she weren't, there would be no more Caroline encounters at the beach for Sabrina. Ever.
If Jenna could find her. She fought back a wave of nausea and forced herself to be patient. She sat on the sofa and beckoned Caroline over. The girl sat on the edge of the sofa and looked at her warily.
Caroline, I know you don't want to rat out Sabrina, but I need to make sure she's safe, Jenna said, forcing herself to sound calm.
Can you just tell me, did she go back to her dad?
The sullen look was now replaced with something akin to pity.
She misses him. She wanted to go back.
I know. I was actually going to surprise her and take her tomorrow.
You were?
I was. Did you girls by any chance walk down to the bus stop toward the end of town?
Caroline bit her lip.
It was all the answer Jenna needed. She reached out and touched the girl's arm.
It's okay. You kept her secret. But you know what would have been even better? To tell me what she was planning. Now we don't know if she's safe.
Caroline's eyes filled with tears and she nodded.
I'm sorry, she whispered.
Then she turned and ran back up the stairs to her room.
Good, Nora said, watching her go. Maybe she's learned a valuable lesson today.
Jenna knew she had. She should have done a better job of meeting her daughter's needs. Her phone rang. Bad Boys, Damien's ringtone. She didn't give him time to say anything.
Is Sabrina with you?
Yeah, we're driving to your mom's place right now. What the hell were you thinking, Jenna? He demanded.
She ran away. Didn't she tell you that?
What? Sabrina, were you out of your mind?
She missed you and she wanted to see you, Jenna said. I've been making excuses for you and she finally got tired of being put off. I should have told her the truth. She'd never have run away if she'd known what a selfish shit you are, that you don't want to see her.
I never said that. Don't put words in my mouth.
Let me talk to her, Jenna demanded.
I don't think so. She's upset.
What do you know or care about our daughter's feelings? Jenna yelled.
But no one was there to yell at. He'd ended the call.
Is she okay? Nora asked.
Yeah, my ex has got her. They're on their way to my mom's.
Jenna let out her breath and allowed her heart to slow down. She felt a million years old.
She called her aunt to let her know Sabrina had been found. Then, after thanking Nora for her support, returned to the house.
Aunt Edie looked like she, too, had aged in just 1 hour.
Thank God nothing happened to her, she said after Jenna had filled her in.
I swear I'd put her on restriction for life if I didn't feel so guilty, Jenna said.
Young girls don't always think things through, Aunt Edie said in Sabrina's defense. Their brains are still developing.
And while her brain is developing, I'm developing an ulcer, Jenna said, leaning back against the sofa cushions. An hour later, her mother called.
I wanted you to know that our girl is now in bed, recovering from her big adventure.
I'm not sure I'll ever recover, Jenna said.
I guess she had one harrowing moment. It certainly scared me hearing about it. Some old guy tried to pick her up in Quinault, where she had to change buses, but a woman took her under her wing and helped her transfer to the right one to get back to Seattle. She called Damien, and you know the rest.
All except for where she got the money. I never gave it to her.
I'm afraid you won't like this part.
She stole it out of Aunt Edie's purse. Once again, Jenna felt ill.
Oh, no.
We already had a talk about that.